We continue our learning Leinish David Menachem Rishon Chaim Yaakov Pichos Eliyahu. We are in the current parak Dalin Mishnah Gimel Shavel LaAnashim Ketzet. So now we're going to discuss the androgynous. In what ways they like women? So first, Mitame VaOdem Kanashim. He becomes tame with red, with blood, like women, just like a woman becomes an Ido or a Zava through bleeding. So if that there would be bleeding from an androgynous, so we all also would have the status of women in such regard. It wouldn't be true of men if there were bleeding or an emission of blood, but when it comes to an androgynous, yes, he would be metame like a nidor or a zava like women if there were an emission of blood. And he cannot have yichud with men, just like women can't have yichud with men. That's because we're not sure what he is. Remember, we spoke about yichud with women. So androgynous has a problem both ways. The Rambam rules, interestingly, that against this mishnah, based on a tosefta that we don't have, that an androgynous is allowed to have a yichud with men, and there's no issue, and would not follow this halacha in the mishnah. He cannot have yichud with women. So why would the Rambam disagree with the mishnah? So it's based on the first time explained. It's based on the previous mishnah. It seems that we treat an androgynous a little bit more like a man when it comes to relationships between men and women. Think about what we spoke of when it comes to marriage. So we said no sevilo nisa. We said that the androgynous is allowed to marry a woman, but he cannot marry a man, and we discussed the reasons for that. But the point is that since we're treating him like a man regarding these relationships, add on the fact that androgynous normally dresses and appears like a man. We spoke about enonataf. He shouldn't be wrapping his head in such a way that women normally do. So that's why the Rambam would rule against this mishnah that he can have yichud with men, just not with women. Again, our mishnah holds that he cannot have yichud with either men or women. Our mishnah is specifically speaking about women, and therefore tell that he, in what ways he like women, the fact that he cannot have yichud with men. Veino zokek liyibum kanashim. Another halacha. He's not, there's not going to be a din of yibum. In what way? So we know the widow of a husband, if they have any children, so the din of yibum or chalitza. Now that only applies when they're the husband that we're speaking about, where the new husband, the brother who's going to marry the brother of the deceased, is capable of bearing children. We mentioned the fact that maybe it's possible that an androgynous can bear children as well. Others claim that it cannot. This mishnah is basically following that assumption that androgynous cannot have children, so therefore there's no din of yibum. And the same thing would be true of the other way. Let's say the deceased husband was an androgynous, and since he wasn't capable of bearing children upon that marriage, so the din of yibum achalitz would not apply to a brother. So in that way, he's not like men. In that way, he's like women. Ve'eno zokek, ve'eno cholek im abanim. He doesn't divide with the other brothers. We mentioned the fact in a case where there are very few assets, so we don't. So the girls, the daughters, are able to receive sustenance from the assets of the deceased father, but the brothers are sholim or chozim el apsachim. They have to go begging for food. And we said that the androgynous, in that case, would have to be considered like one of the men, one of the boys, and he would have to go also going around begging for food, and not like the daughters. But in a case where there are many assets, so now the sons the sons profit. Why? Because the daughters receive the basic sustenance, and the sons are now divide the inheritances. The Yerusha goes to the sons over the daughters. So in such a case where there are many assets, now the androgynous loses out of the other way. The brothers will say, prove to us that you're a male and you'll be able to divide the inheritance. Obviously, he can't prove that. So now he becomes like the daughters. But at least in such a case where there are many assets, he'll receive basic sustenance like the daughters, but it cannot be cholek in the inheritance with the sons. Ve'eno cholek because ha'mikdash kanashim. Another halacha. The androgynous is allowed to have sacrifices which a kohenes, wife or daughter of a kohen, is allowed to have, but they don't receive the portion from the sacrifices on their own. It says, l'chol b'nei aharon tiyeh ish ke'achiv. So only, it's b'nei aharon, only where they are a definite kohanim, that's where we give it to them, the men kohanim rather, and androgynous is not, we don't know that for sure that he's definitely a man, and therefore he's not going to receive that portion. He wouldn't be able to eat by virtue of the family, but not because he's receiving a portion on his own as one of the males. Upasul l'chol edus shabbat Torah kanoshim. He is disqualified from giving edus, where we need two edim that are men. In some cases, we're lenient, where we allow, let's say, in case of an aguna, we allow a woman to testify. But generally speaking, men are necessary, so he's not included in that. He's disqualified from testimony. Ve'enu nival ba'avera kanoshim. This is an interesting halacha. It says he literally is not allowed to have bia ba'avera on the list of arayos like women. So what does that mean? To Mefarshim explain, it means that he's not allowed to be married to any of his relatives with whom would be arayos if it was determined that he is a woman. So let's say, for example, he's not allowed to live with and marry his father. Why? Because if it were determined that he's a woman, so he would have this, that would end up being a daughter living with a father. Many of the Mefarshim are troubled about this halacha. This should be obvious. We spoke about marriage, and the general halacha. It should be obvious that he cannot be, that we would not allow him to marry arayos. And the different explanations for what the Mishnah really means here. There is one possibility that the Rambam, who understood that the marriage between an androgynos and either a man or a woman requires the get misafek, so adding on the arayos issue here means that we don't have to treat it as a safek at all. So that may be one explanation for why I need this halacha in the Mishnah at all. And then the Mishnah concludes, upasul min akuna kanasha, meaning in a case where the androgynos violated this halacha and lived with one of the arayos, so then that would now make him disqualified for meaning truma, even if he's a Kohen, as a kanashim, the same way it would apply to a woman who was also disqualified in such a way. Perek Dalad Mishnah Dalad Shavel La Anashim Vil Anashim Ketzad. In what way is he like both similar to men and women? So the Mishnah first says, Chayev al nizko ki isha, if he does causes damage. So the first halacha is Chayev al nizko, meaning a person who injures or damages him or his property has to pay him. Just like if the victim were a man or a woman, it makes no difference, you have to pay. V'chayev b'chol ha-nizakin ki'ish v'isha. Now, the other way, if he causes damage, so he has to pay, that culpability, that liability, doesn't matter whether it's you're a man or a woman, you're going to be chayev. The Gemara in Bava Kama learns that kol chatos, women are and men are chayev in all cases of damages, anytime they do an avera. V'ha-horgo. He's a regular human being, makes no difference in man or woman. If he is killed by someone, so that person who kills him is going to be killed. And if he kills him, if he does it b'shogeg, he goes to Irmiklat, makes no difference when it comes to the androgynos. The emo, yocheves alav dam toar. Kanashim, mechanashim. And what else? So when his mother gives birth to him, she sits literally on Dan Toar like men and women. So here, just to review quickly, when a woman gives birth, so she gives birth to a male, she's Tamei for 7 days. And then the next 33 days, even if she's bleeding, that blood is Dam Toar. She goes to the mikveh after the 7 days. She's mut to her husband during those days. And only after the 40 days, we assume if she continues bleeding, that now she's Tamea as well. So that's called Dam Toar. And giving birth to a girl, she's tummy for 14. It's discussed at the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Giving birth to a girl, she's tummy for 14 days, regardless whether she's bleeding or not. And then the next 66 days, up to day 80 after birth, that's Dam Tohar, those 66 days. She's mutter to be with her husband, assuming she meant to mikvah. And after those 66 days, any bleeding that follows is going to be Dam Tumah once again. So here, in what way? So the androgynous is born. The mother sits al Dam Torah. The Mefarshim explain what it means is this ka'anashim v'ka'anashim. You have to assume that the child is a male or a female, which means you have to be machmer on both counts, which means that for the first 14 days, we have to assume maybe the androgynous was a female. So the mother, the woman, is tamei only for not for 7 days, but for 14 days. We have to be machmir. On the other hand, the Dam Tohar time, where she bleeds, where we'd have loved to be able to say that the blood that she has is Tohar blood, that we're not going to go to day 80. There we have to stop at day 40. In order to be machmir, like assuming the androgynous is a male. V'nochel b'kotche ha'gvul, ka'anashim v'chanashim, another halacha, kotche ha'gvul is usually what we refer to As truma, truma, we have a truma and truma's maser and challah, but truma can be eaten. Those are all, we have many different, kachim that we give. Now, truma can be eaten anywhere we know in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to, let's say, bikurim, we mentioned, of course, in this mesechta, that can only be eaten in Yerushalayim itself. The Mishnah is teaching us like this. Truma that's given to Androgynos is a Kohen, so that is certainly acceptable, just like Truma can be given to men or women Kohanim, to women Bas Kohen. She also can get Truma, so that is Kodshe Agvul, that refers to Truma. But the Androgynos doesn't come to divide at the granary, at the Goren, that already we don't give. We give to the Kohanim. But he's Hamotz Mechav L'Raya. He has no proof that he's a male Kohen. That's given around to the males, and that is not given to the females. Some say based on the fact that it's a disgrace to the Truma for someone, for an Androgynos to be there, dividing up. And maybe that's the reason why it is. Okay. V'ha Omer, Hareini Nazir, Sheze Ish V'Isha, Hareze Nazir. And another halacha, in what way is he like men and women? If a person decides, the person makes a vow to become a Nazir, and he's on the Tanai that the Androgynos that's walking in front of him is a man, or on the Tanai that Androgynos is a woman, regardless of that neder, he becomes a Nazir Misafik. So in that way, he's both like a man or a woman regarding that particular neder. He's like a man in the sense that the vow would be valid, assuming he would be a man, and the same thing when it comes to the woman.